You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive. In Isaiah, it says, and we're going to read, I'm going to get out of order here for just a minute. Isaiah 55. We're going to read out of order here because, you know, actually when you start reading, you know, you really need to get everything in context. But I want to read, this is so important. And I know that when I started studying this out and I was really just hammering in on joy and, you know, different scriptures and different instances where joy was, you know, promised or given or people expressed joy or whatever. When I got to this scripture, it just took a different route. How many of you know this? Dad gets on rabbit trails all the time. I got on a rabbit trail before I even got started. I was rabbit trailing before I even got to minister. And I know it was God because, like I said, I couldn't have planned this any better. But it says in verse 12 of Isaiah 55, "For you shall go out with joy." Everybody say joy.
Joy.
Say, I will go out with joy. Amen. I will go out with joy. It says it says you can go out with joy. You could possibly go out. No, you shall go out with joy. Okay, now we'll back up and get this in context in a minute. But look at the next line. And be led out, or led forth, the King James says, led out with peace, led forth by peace. We just talked about how to get peace a few weeks ago, right? So now we get to talk about joy. Because if you've got peace in your life, you've got peace in your heart, then you're set up for the joy to come in. Amen? Amen. You've got to have peace, right? What happens in war? There's no peace. We talked about that whenever we ministered on peace. When there's battle, when there's struggle going on, there's fighting for power on who's in control, who's going to take care of this, or am I going to do this? Is God doing this? Is my job going to be my supply? Is the doctor going to be my supply for healing? There's a battle going on, there's no peace. When you make a decision, you say, God is my supply. God is my salvation. God is my healer. He's my blesser. He's the need meter. When you do that, the battle's over. Right? We're no longer at battle and war of who's going to be in charge. We're letting God be in charge. Now the battle's over. What comes after battle's over? What comes? Peace. And what comes when there's peace? Lots of joy. Lots of joy. You know, in your lives, I know you're just like me. There's battles going on all the time. I mean, the devil's constantly coming at you. I mean, you know, he's throwing this and this at you and that at you. And all the time, there's a battle going on. And all the time, you can make the decision to let God be your salvation. Let God be your fortress. Let God be your strong tower. The name of Jesus, the Lord is my strong tower. They that run into it are safe. The name of Jesus, Jesus can set you free. It saves you. It heals you. It sets you free, delivers you. I can put Jesus in charge, and I can resolve the battle, and I can have peace, and after I have peace, I can have joy. And it goes in that order, right? I mean, you don't have joy when you don't have peace. I mean, do you have joy when you have peace? I don't have joy. I mean, when you don't have peace. I don't have joy when I don't have peace. But when I know I put it in God's hands and he's in control and I'm letting him take care of it and I'm trusting, I'm believing, you know, I'm speaking the right way. I'm talking the right way. I'm speaking the word. I'm speaking the promises. I'm standing on the promises of God. When I know I'm doing that part, I can trust that he's going to come through every time. And when I do that, I have peace. When you put your faith in him, you'll have peace. And with peace, peace leads you in joy. Yeah. I mean, that's what it says. It says, for you will go out with joy. Woo! We're going out with joy. Who's taking us out? Peace. Peace is leading you in joy. Amen? Amen. Okay, now, there is no coincidence with God. When I got to studying this, it was so awesome. And you know what the kingdom of God is? in the same order. The kingdom of God, Romans 14, 17, I think. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God, joy, Dad ministers this, and you can go back and listen to a lot of his messages on joy. He teaches a lot of different messages on joy. And one of his messages, I love the title. Joy is the serious business of heaven. Joy is the serious business of heaven. If you get a little nervous about joyful times on earth, about excitement in a service where people get to shouting and woo, hallelujah. If you get a little nervous about that, you're going to be really nervous in heaven, because in heaven it's a whole lot of shouting, a whole lot of praising, a whole lot of glorifying God and singing and getting excited and shouting victory and shouting praises, because that's what heaven's all about. Heaven is all about joy. I mean, enter now into the joy of the Lord. Enter now, thou good and faithful servant, enter now into the joy of the Lord. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to walk in joy. He wants you to live in joy. Obviously, we're going to live in peace. We talked about having a peaceful life and living in peace in the last message. Again, I'll maybe get with me and I'll just re-preach it to you, because we didn't get it recorded. But anyway. But joy is the serious business of heaven. It's serious business of heaven, and He wants you to be happy. He wants you to have joy. And in the Bible, we'll talk about this a little bit if time allows. We won't go too long tonight, but if time allows, we'll talk about this a little bit. But there's different kinds of joy, different translations for different words. We have joy, we have happy, we have gladness. I mean, those are different words for joy and different types of joy. And you're going to see in here, man, there's all kinds of joy. There's joy. There is a gladness type of joy where you're just glad. You're just glad to be alive, glad to be saved, glad to be, a Christian, living and being blessed. And then there's the joy that's an exciting type of joy where you just get excited about serving God, and you just get, you get excited about an excitement type of joy. Then there's a joy, this is the one I really like. There's a joy where you're shouting victory because you've just overcome. Amen? I like that kind of joy. I like that kind of joy. You'll see, and you'll have to go and look in some of the scriptures where it talks about that, but one of the types where it's talking about joy, you shout for joy. For that, if you favor His righteous cause, Psalm 35 talks about, if you favor My righteous cause, it says they will, those that favor My righteous cause, they'll shout for joy. If you favor My righteous cause, shout for joy. Why are you shouting for joy? Because you're overcoming. You're victorious. You're a winner. We're more than conquerors through Christ. Amen. We're winners. We don't have to worry about, Jesus already won the battle, the physical battle, in the natural. He already beat the devil. All right. And God, all He asks us to do is to trust Him. All right. Now, I'm getting way ahead of myself here, but what is favor? We're going to take a vote here now, and I think we all need to get in agreement on something, okay? So let's take a vote and see who all agrees and who doesn't agree. So all in favor, say aye, right? But I mean, we obviously didn't say what we're going to be in favor of. But whenever you're in favor of something, what are you in? Agreement. You agree with. You say, yeah, I'm behind that. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I like that. I like that. Now, I'm in favor of that. I'm in favor of that right there. I want that to happen in my life. And God's saying, hey, look, I've got this joy, or I've got peace, or I've got healing, or I've got prosperity, or I've got this great job sitting over here. If you would like to have this, if you're in favor of this, say aye. Amen. When you favor His righteous cause, you're saying, you know what? I'm for the same thing that you're for, God. I'm gonna live my life. I want to be a light. I want to be a witness, and I want to be a person who makes a difference and an impact in people's lives for good. You can make an impact and a difference in people's lives not for good. Okay, so I want to be an impact on people's lives lives for good. I want to help people. I want to bless people. I want to have your heart, God. I want to be for your call. I want to be for your cause. I'm saying pick me, send me. Okay? I favor your righteous cause. Now, get ready. The blessing's coming. Right? I favor his righteous cause, so what am I supposed to get ready? I'm fixing to shout for joy. It's what it says. Shout for joy, those who favor my righteous cause. Let him continually say, the Lord takes pleasure in what? The prosperity of his servants. I mean, he takes pleasure in blessing you. And so if you favor his righteous cause, you're supposed to be shouting. Amen. Do you favor his righteous cause? Woo! Yes! Shout for joy! Amen. God, I didn't want to blast you with a mic, so I covered it up there. Okay, now, so let's go back here. Back up just a little bit. We're still in Isaiah 55. Back up. And this is good because we need this right here. Verse 10. For as the rain, say, send the rain, Lord Jesus. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but watereth the earth. It's King James. I have to just make this comment for just a minute. Dad taught in King James for a long time, and he has a problem getting them mixed up, right? Because he taught King James for so long, and he switched to New King James several years ago, and so he's gotten better and better at it. But I learned King James too, and so I want to say King James as I'm reading the New King James, just like Dad does, and I still haven't gotten over that yet. So bear with me. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there or thither, as I want to say, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Are you a sower? Yes. Are you an eater of bread? Okay, well, God says he sends the rain down and the snow from heaven, and it doesn't return there. It doesn't return, it stays here on the earth for us to have so that it can bring forth and bud the things that we plant and grow. Okay, now this is a natural and a spiritual connotation. You got to look at this both ways. This is, in the natural, he does this for us. The rain comes down and it waters the earth, and then we need the vegetables and the gardens to grow and the livestock to have vegetables to eat so they can grow so that we can eat vegetables or the things that eat vegetables, and we can grow. Amen? All right, so in the natural, that's what we need too. In the spiritual sense, that's the same thing, okay? It says here, verse 11, so shall my word be. The words, I ate them, I found them, and I did eat them. And they were health to me. They were blessing. They were healing to me. So that's what it says. It says, I found your words in here, and I ate them. It's just making an analogy of how you do it in the natural. In the natural, you take food and you eat it. And what is it? It's health to your body. Well, the Bible is just like hell. It's the bread of life. Amen. That words were in here. I found them and I ate them. And they were health to me. Well, God sent his word, and it goes forth out of his mouth. And where does it go to? Into you, right? If you eat these words, if you study this word, if you read it and you hear it and you speak it, then you're getting it on the inside of you, into your spirit man, right? Okay, the spirit man. I'll just make sure we understand here. We get it on this spirit man. It says, it shall not return to me void. Okay, wait a minute. What's this, what's talking about here? Well, it means that, first of all, how does it return? Now, I know Dad's taught on this, and so we probably have a pretty good idea of this already, but I'm just, first, my point's sake here. Stay with me. It doesn't return to me void. In other words, when we get it on the inside of us, and then we stand on it, it says in 1 Corinthians 13:14. I forget the scripture exactly. It says that it talks about having the same spirit of faith. According to as is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. So we also believe and therefore speak. According to as it's written, I believe and then I speak. Same way Romans 10:9-10 talks about how we believe with our heart, we confess with our mouth, right? All right, so we find it in the Word, all right? And then the next step is, when we find it in the Word, we believe it, we stand on it, right? All right, and then when we believe it, what's the next thing that happens? We speak it. When we speak it, we're returning that Word to God. We're saying, I believe this. I believe this particular promise that I'm standing on. You're agreeing. Oh, I'm in favor of that. I'm saying I, right? Well, and if I'm doing that, I'm favoring his righteous cause, then what's going to happen after I start agreeing with him? I should be shouting because what's coming? Joy. Amen. Now, but it says here, it won't return to him void. In other words, it's not going to return to him like a check, empty, that doesn't work, that bounces. You know what happens when you take a check and you put void on it? It don't work no more. Right? It's no good. No, his checks are good. Whenever we speak his word, it's going to go back to him. He's going to say, okay, I'll do that. I'll make that good. I'll make that promise good. I made that promise. That's right. That's right. It's the exact promise I made. I wrote that check right there. I remember writing that check, and it's coming back to me. That's the word I had written down, and you're speaking. You're cashing it in. All right? I'm making good on that one. All right? Okay? But it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper. Prosper. Ever say prosper? The word will prosper only if it's, look at this next part, prosper in the thing. Everybody say in. Now, say it like I said it and lean over when you say it too. In. Right. Because the word has to get in you, right? It has to get in you before it can prosper you, right? Okay, so, and it will prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Now, we have got God's promises. We have got his word. We have spoken. We have said, I'm standing on this promise. This is what I'm believing. Your word says this. I'm returning that to you, God. He's saying, hey, I'm making that good. And now, what was on the inside of us that we were believing is starting to prosper. What's the next part? For I'm going to go out with joy. Woo! I'm going to go out with joy. And I'm going to be led forth with peace. Again, why do we have peace? Where did the peace part come in again? Because we put God in charge. And we believed his word that he sent to us to prosper on the inside of us, that we returned back to him and said, I'm cashing that promise in. And he says, okay, I'm going to give it to you. And here it is. And so then here we are again. So now I've got peace because who have I put in charge? God. And because God's in charge, and we know that he never fails me, Lord. Right? Because he never fails me. We can go out with joy because we've been led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth with singing. We didn't get to this part a while ago. This is good. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. And instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. You know, the myrtle tree is a sign of blessing. It's a sign of prosperity. You see a lot of people line their driveways with myrtle trees. That's an old tradition. Myrtle trees are, God's saying right here, the crepe myrtle tree. All right, here we go. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a good name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. An everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. We can have this joy, amen, and we can shout for joy because we do what? We favor his righteous cause. Let's turn there real quick. Psalm 35. Excuse me for getting a little bit excited. Just a little bit excited. Oh, goodness, this is so good. Psalm 35, 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. Again, are we all in favor? If you're in favor, say aye. Amen. And let them say continually every day when you wake up, doesn't matter what the circumstances look like, doesn't matter what the weather looks like, doesn't matter what your bank account looks like, doesn't matter what your job looks like and the economy looks like, doesn't matter who's in the presidency, doesn't matter who's not in the presidency, doesn't matter who your boss is at work, doesn't matter who your spouse is, doesn't matter, it doesn't matter, you're going to continually do what? You're going to continually say, let the Lord be magnified. Let the Lord be made bigger than everything else. When you magnify the Lord, what are you doing? Magnifying. What's a magnifying glass do? It makes bigger. It makes it bigger. We need to make the Lord so big that we can't see anything but the Lord. Yeah, I always loved that analogy. I don't remember if it was Brother Osteen that started, don't talk to your God about how big your mountain is, but talk to your mountain about how big your God is. Okay, because I think, we see this picture in our minds of this huge mountain. Woo! And we think that's big. It's almost laughable. God made that mountain. I mean, you don't think God's bigger than the mountain? You don't think God's bigger than anything he creates? Or that he has power over anything he creates? Amen? Okay, so you look at this mountain, you think, wow, that's big. Well, when these problems come, we think this little problem is like this big mountain. And we think, oh, man, it's just a huge, huge problem. It's a big problem. I just can't make it. I can't get over this thing. It's just this hurdle in life is just, it's whipping me. I mean, it's just gracious. But, you know, I got this, and Dad says this thing, too. He says things are bigger by approach, right? Things become bigger by approach. And if we will, like Toucan Sam, anybody remember Toucan Sam? Yeah. Just follow your nose. It always knows. Remember that? You know, the little commercial? Okay. All right. If we will, like Toucan Sam, get our nose lined up with God instead of the problem, we eventually start, we're like bugs to a light. I mean, we're just like little bugs, moths to a flame, and we will gravitate towards wherever we are looking, right? And it's kind of like a snowball, usually. The closer we get, the faster it, start getting really close. But if we will get our face in God's face, if we will look to him, if we'll talk him, if we'll magnify him, praise him, glorify him, talk big about him, all you're doing is putting yourself in a position to where before long you're going towards God, and all you will be able to see, it will fill your entire view. God will be all you can see. God will be all you can see. So let the Lord be magnified. Now this is a part that you have to make a decision to do. It says let. He wants to be big in your life. Just like he's not going to take you to heaven kicking and screaming. It's a choice that you make in life. You make the choice to be saved or not. Okay? You decide. Are you going to make a decision to serve God or not? God's not making you go to heaven. He wishes that none should perish. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He wants everybody to go to heaven. But you got to make a choice. And I know I'm just repeating a lot of titles from Dad's messages over the years, but life is a series of choices. Okay, it's not a series of chances. No, it's choices. You make the decision. I choose to rejoice. I choose to let the Lord be magnified in my life. I choose He wants to be big in your life. He wants to bless you. He wants to heal you. He wants to make you. He wants to bless you so much that you don't have room enough to receive it, so that you can, it just pours out of you and just blesses everybody around you. And you're like this big old, I know I mentioned this before in my message, but you know, we're like big old sponges. Big sponges, and we just soak it all up. By everything that's around us, we soak it up, right? Well, I want to be a sponge. You've seen those sponges that you like you use when you're washing dishes? Yeah. And you get it so wet that it's just dripping everywhere, right? And you like, you know, as a kid, you try to see how much is in that sponge. How much can you hold in that sponge? So you try to be real easy, and you set it down as full as it can be for the next person to come grab it, and they go to pick it up, and it just goes everywhere, right? I'm not me. I'm saying y'all as kids probably did that, right? Okay, so you try. I mean, you know how a sponge can be. If it's really full and saturated, you just barely touch it, and it just, you know, this water just comes out of it. That's how we need to be, full of the Word, full of blessings, bank account full, healed to the max. And any time somebody just bumps into us, boom, it's all over him now. Does that make sense? I mean, did you get that? Do you feel better now? I just blessing just came out. Just all over him. But that's the way God wants you to be that blessed. He wants to be that blessed. Now it says here, let the Lord be magnified. Who has pleasure? It is his pleasure. It's not something that he just moans and groans. Oh, man. Really? Today? Are you serious right now? Do I have to do that today? I mean, come on now. Didn't I bless you yesterday? Didn't I bless you this morning? I mean, you asked me this morning to be blessed, and I already did that. No. It's his pleasure. How many grandparents, parents even, but especially grandparents, do we have in here? Don't you take pleasure in just spoiling your grandkids and sending them right home full of candy, giving them everything they want, and then they get home No, you can't have any more candy. Your mimmy already gave you a whole bowl. No, that's the way God wants. He takes pleasure. He is excited. He loves. He wants so bad to bless you. Amen? So, it says here, he takes pleasure in the prosperity of a servant. It says, and my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long. All the day long. There's way too many scriptures. They're just going, like Dad says, they're lining up like train cars right now. You know, Psalm 1 talks about how that, you know, in his law doth he meditate day and night, night and day. And it's planted by the river. Why? Because that's where the blessing comes from. That's where the blessing is. And he's putting his trust in the Lord. Amen. And Joshua talks about how God's given Joshua a command. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you'll meditate in it. You'll speak it. It'll roll around on the inside of you. And it'll leave you'll mumble it. That meditate actually is like a muttering. You'll mutter it. You'll mumble it. You'll speak it. You'll talk it. Every time your mouth opens, it's what falls out. That word is not going to leave your mouth. That's what's going to come out of you. And I just, you know, just over and over, you see this. Let them continually say. Let them continually say. And, you know, when I was thinking about this too, I'll tell you what, let's turn here. Turn to Proverbs real quick. This is going to be good. You're going to like this. Proverbs 15. This scripture, I don't know where the scripture came from. I've never seen this before in my Bible. I feel like, was it Danny Davis that made the joke whenever he came to our church after, you know, I don't know, a few months or a year or so, and he gave the testimony about how that somebody came into, snuck into his house, broke into his house. Can y'all listen to this? This is crazy. Somebody broke in his house and took every one of his Bibles and added a whole bunch of scriptures into them and left them there for him. Those scriptures were not there before. Okay? I know. No, you know how God is. Just scripture just pop out and you're like, whoa, where did that come from? Now, and I know that, you know, I really believe, you know, that you're supposed to be careful about the word and that you don't change the word and, you know, make it to sound like it's what is not what it's saying. But I also believe that, too, that in Scripture, there's a lot of double meaning and even more than double meaning, triple meaning and quadruple meanings, I mean, of things. And you can see things from different aspects. A Scripture is just, and that's the beauty of the fact that the Scripture is alive. I mean, it's not dead letters. And it doesn't have just one message in it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what I think. That's a love about the Bible. One scripture can teach you a million messages in life. One scripture can. I mean, and so that's what I think. You know, whenever you see a scripture, this just worked out great. I saw this and I was like, really? That is just too cool. So in verse 23, listen to this right here. They're all stacking up. Okay, a man, verse 23 and verse 15, Proverbs, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. And a word spoken in due season, how good it is. How good it is. Now, you know, whenever you look this, and I try to study the scripture. I looked it up several different ways and try to figure out, you know, because I want it to make it sound like it says this, or, you know, does this, and I want to bring up this point or this aspect, but I don't want to be wrong in my interpretation of the scripture. And so I looked at this, and it still works. It still works. It says here, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth. And what it's trying to say there is because a man, when he's presented with something, has a good answer, it comes forth, he's pleased with the fact that he had the right answer, right? Whenever something came up or somebody asked him a question or the devil comes against him with something, he has the right answer, and it says it brings him joy because he has the right answer. If we are meditating on God's Word, if we're studying God's Word, if we're continually speaking God's Word, saying God's Word, whenever things come in life and we go, question mark, what are we supposed to do? Oh, I know what to do. God says this right here in the Bible. Hey, that's a good answer. I have joy because I know what God's promises are. I have joy because I know what the right answer is. Do you know what the right answer is? Yeah, trust and believe God. Amen. And depending on the situation, it may be a certain scripture. It might be a certain promise. But if we've studied the Word, if we're reading the Word, and we've got the promises, and we know them like the back of our hand. Look at there. I didn't know that was there. No, but anyway, if we know them like the back, I was just teasing as a joke. Yeah, I feel like Don, you know, I would pray the anointing of humor into you tonight. But that's so funny when you did that. I actually did laugh. Maybe it worked. So I guess it did work. But no, when you know the Scriptures like the back of your hand, you know, when you study and you know what God says about you and your life and the things that are coming up, and you know the answers, well, I tell you what else. You ever been in a classroom and growing up and you knew the answer before everybody else did? Woo, you were excited. I know. Pay me. I know, right? I know. That's the way we are. Okay, and that's where we need to be. The devil comes against you. Things in life just don't look right. You know, you may be, there may be all kinds, a multitude of things may be happening in your life. But when that happens, well, you can just smile. You can raise your hands. I know the answer. And boy, what does it say there? It says, a word spoken in due season. In other words, a word spoken at the right time. The timing was perfect. I mean, I know this is true too. Like I said, you can take this scripture and you can, you know, turn it and look at it several different ways, and it still holds true. You know, sometimes you don't always know exactly what to say in a situation, but by the Holy Ghost, He'll lead you and He'll guide you and He'll give you the right words to say. And even in Moses' case, Moses says, you know, I stutter. I can't speak. How am I supposed to speak, God? And God says, look, Go back and read the scripture. It's really cool. He says, look, first of all, I made your mouth. You know, I know what, you know, what the problem is. But look here. Your brother Aaron, he's coming. And he's coming over here, and he's gonna have gladness. His countenance is going to be like gladness. When he comes to you, he's going to be glad to come to you. And he's going to speak because you're going to put words in his mouth, and I'm going to put words in your mouth. I'm going to give you the words to give him the words to speak for you, right? And we have several instances where God says the same thing. Hey, I'll give you the words to speak. Don't worry about what to say. I'm going to give you the words to speak. And so in times where you don't know what to say, you're maybe witnessing to somebody or helping somebody out, and you're like, oh, you know, God says this. And it comes to you. So you know, that's a situation where the word came in due season. And man, you can rejoice in that. You can rejoice in the fact that God will come through for you. He will give you the words to speak. And we can study the words, and we can know the words to speak. And we can have joy because, again, this all comes back to the fact that we've got peace. Peace in believing. Peace in believing. And peace will lead us. Peace leads joy. It leads you into joy. Amen?